Wow. Praise God. Got to try to get my voice back here a little bit. You know, God is good. He's good when we aren't. He's good when we're good. He is consistently good. The word says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And that means that no matter what we do, wherever we go, God is there. You know, we're living in, I've been listening to some of the older Christian rock, and one of the songs was called Troubled Times. We're living in troubled times. This was in 1985. We didn't think they were so troubled, but we were. And if we thought those were troubled times, that ain't nothing. We need to be trusting God with every fiber of our being, for everything, for everyone. There is no halfway, folks. You either jump in the water or you're going to drown. That's all there is to it. You got to get in, get wet. Time is short. The more I see things happening in the world, the more I hear of what's going on. The Bible says there will be pestilence. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Folks, if you're not, do not be troubled. Jesus said, don't let this trouble you, for he has overcome the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he's already overcome that, we can go through anything. But we have to hold fast to our faith. So remember that. I'm going to cut that. Is there any announcements I need to do real quick? Well, today, 5 o'clock, you're invited to, you probably already know, the open house we're going to have for Jesse. There will be a little jam session. The boys are going to come over here and jam. Some of you may not like some of the music. I do. I forget who it was. I think it was Miss Vicky and Miss Maggie were having a conversation on Facebook the other day. And I was just like, okay, how many people listen to the music that Miss Vicky just listed? Not in her age group. Yeah. I mean, there are people that do. They just ain't in their 60s and 70s. Although when you stop and think about it, y'all, the likes of AC/DC, the Rolling Stones, all these rock and roll people that are still going, and they're in their 70s. I guess the reality check came in when Eddie Van Halen had his hip replacement. Yeah, they're still going. But all this, I'll bring that around this way. When you find the passion of something, you stay with it. Because while I listed those bands, it's not that everything went hunky-dory for the Stones. You know, not everything was hunky-dory with AC/DC. You know, again, I don't condone lifestyles or certain things that they say. But they stuck to something. And they stuck it out. A Christian hits a little rough water. Oh, I'm out of here. Holy moly. We abandoned ship at the first sign of a little wave. You stay in the boat. Your chance of survival is so much greater in the boat. Stay in it. All right. I'll bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you today in Jesus' name. Father, we come with your praise and adoration on our lips, our admiration from our hearts. Lord God, you are the great. You are great. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord God, I stand here as testament that you have never failed me. Even as many times as I have failed you, you have never dropped the ball. So now, Lord, I present to you today this tithe and this offering. I pray that you bless it according to your word. Lord God, pour out the room, pour out the blessings so that there is not room for us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed at this time. Well, praise God. Well, last week I touched on a little subject that I felt the Lord told me to go into it again. And in that, it was based on a meme that I'd actually seen Miss Maggie and Miss Vicky both, I believe, had shared it on Facebook. And it says, I wish that I could see myself the way that God sees me. And we all do. We all really do. And I hope and pray that that is your desire. Because as I was talking to God about this week, he began to show me things. And as a matter of fact, he brought back an old song that I remember from the 80s. And it's actually going to play here in a few minutes. But you have to understand that while God will judge us in the end, God is judging us through his eyes. Not through your neighbors, not through your spouse, so you can look over and say, thank God. No. You're not going to be judged by somebody else, but you're going to be judged by somebody who gave everything for you. And that person that he gave was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not going to be there with condemnation on his lips, because he's going to be there standing saying, I've been there. I have been there. I know what it's like. If you want to ask how to plant a field, don't ask me. I don't know. Well, I got ideas, but there's a lot I don't know. I can tell you what I know. Get in a tractor and drive in the field a lot. But there's more to it. You got to keep the rows straight. You can't plant corn willy-nilly. The heads are designed to take out rows, not bushes of corn. You ask a farmer. You ask somebody who's been there. Somebody who's done that. And that's what Jesus is doing for us. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with that measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is comparing a splinter to a board that we can't see because we are judging our brother. We're judging somebody else, somebody who is one, not our servant. Now, I've heard preachers talk that well, I hire you, I pay you, therefore you're mine. No. I'll tell you right now, being in a position of authority in a church is a very tight rope to walk. Well, this is the way I'd run it. I'd be like Donald Trump. You're fired. You can't do that. You're in the business of building people, not wealth. You have to remember, and this was something, you know, we started realizing even as our children got older. Not only are they our children, but they are now our brothers in the Lord. Think about that for just a second. They aren't just your children anymore. If they've received Jesus Christ, they are now your brothers or your sisters. And if you treat somebody else differently than you would treat your own children because of that, now obviously there are certain things, certain times, as they get older, you got to start giving them responsibilities, letting them do things. People that hold their thumbs down on their children all, their entire life are morons. And by the way, if you ain't used to me calling it as it is, I say stupid and maybe a few other things that might get me thrown out of any other church. But God does not. He looks at all of us, and he's using Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, Father, when I die, do you realize, listen, when he died, the condemnation of all sin came upon him. When God looked away, he couldn't look upon Jesus. Because he was now carrying the weight, the condemnation of all sin, once and for all. If you messed up yesterday, Jesus forgave that on the cross. It was done at the cross, once and for all. Don't carry the condemnation. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we will take the time to rightly judge ourselves, well, I'll tell you, first off, we're going to be too busy to judge other people. It's not my job to judge you. Some people say, you got to have a stance. No, I don't. I can show you in the Bible, Jesus took stance against religiosity, against religion, because it kept people in chains. It kept people in bondage. They were never really free. I love this Chosen series. Again, I'm hoping you're getting the app and watching it. We watched episode 6 of season 2, and episode 7 drops next week. So, but they're talking. The grace and the love of Christ. He never condemned anybody. He always showed them love. Love that you don't know. Love that has been a hard thing to find. And I'll tell you why. We look at other people and we see what they are. Well, that girl's a slut. He's just a stoner. He's a this. She's a that. That's what we do. We label people by what we see on the outside. By the way, the Bible tells us not to judge on the appearance of people. Oh, by the way, you can't judge a person based on their family either. My name was dropped one time for being an elder. Nope, he's so-and-so's son. Only problem is, I may be biological, but I knew a lot different. There were things I learned in the military that made me a lot different. Well, by the way, that preacher is no longer a preacher. Oh, I don't say, well, Pastor, you just held your head up there like you're just so proud of that. No, I'm not. I'm not proud that any preacher falls. I'm not proud that any preacher burns out or walks away. But we have got to judge ourselves. And if we're going to look at people, and yes, there's an accounting we have to do. Okay? But I'll tell you right now, if I say that there's somebody in here who's a pedophile, first off, everybody wants to know who so they can kill them. You heard me right. Nobody wants to see a pedophile delivered. They want them dead. Well, Jesus said, I know exactly what Jesus said. I know exactly. But your job is not to kill somebody. By the way, there's nobody in here who's a pedophile, so you can drop your guard. You know, even when we do membership and we ask people, hey, is there anything we need to know about? Any police records? We've had a couple people say, yeah, you're going to find this. I need to know. If you were convicted or charged with theft, you're not taking up the offering. Just going to put it this way. And even if you've ever had an accusation against child abuse of one way or of another, you are not working with the children. Not happening. Why? Because I love you enough to not put you in a situation where you're going to get hurt or hurt somebody else. When we look at people, well, let me get a step back here real quick. I don't remember who put the meme on Facebook one time. And by the way, Facebook is not evil. Yeah, I don't care about their censorship stuff. I'm not on there to get censored. They've even sent me a thing. Well, you guys used a song that you didn't have the rights to. We wrote it! It was an in-house song. And I sent them a nice little email back. Do not censor me. We have the rights. We have the proper licensing for everything we do. Y'all probably didn't know that, did you? Every song, that's the reason why the title and the names now are on there. We've always had it. But we just started making sure that all this stuff was up. Those artists get paid. The writer gets paid. Yearly, we pay for using these songs. Videos. The only one who will not allow you is Disney. They make you buy their own. But we pay for the video licensing. For every video that gets played, we pay into that video licensing. And that's what they were trying to correct us on. But Facebook is not evil. I don't care what Mark Zuckerberg, I don't play any of the games on there. So if you're sending me invitations, I'm not playing. My dad's computer has had more viruses by playing games than he thought were so simple. I got another virus. Guess where you got it, Dad? There's a reason they're free. But anyhow, and the meme said, what you see is a strung out drug addict. But what their parents see is their baby. What you see is one thing, but what somebody who really loves them sees is something different. You want to know how to start seeing yourself the way God sees you? Get off your religious, self-righteous high horse and start seeing them the way your Father sees them. Do you know why he sent Jesus? Because he looked down and he said, I love them. But they're trapped eternally in this. And without a way out, they will never know. All the church is concerned with, Jesus, come back quickly, rapture is out of here. If I have to go through hell and high water so that more people can be saved, bless God, I'll do it. Why are we in such a big hurry? Eternity is forever. When a person is gone, one way or the other, when everybody resurrects in the end, people don't realize, everybody, the dead in Christ will rise first, God will take the living believers, and then the rest resurrect. those who never knew Christ. You got to start seeing God, or seeing other people through God's eyes. I'm going to play a song here real quick. Some of you from back in the day might remember hearing this song. There's no video to it, so he's just playing the audio. And I want you to listen clearly to the words of this song. All right, Jason, go ahead.
Someone can't go on giving up, their hope is gone. Somewhere there's a heart that cries, where everything is seen through sorrow's eyes.
So you see, God's not looking at you through eyes of judgment. He's looking through love. He's looking through what Jesus Christ did for you. So when he's looking at you, he doesn't see the hateful, addicted person that you've become. Addicted to your self-righteousness. Addicted to drugs, to include nicotine, caffeine, sugar, amongst illicit drugs. Addicted to pornography. Addicted to sex. Addicted to making people happy. It is not your job to make people happy. You can ask my wife. She will tell you she has been a people pleaser. And she's done things just because to make people happy. Me, I came from a whole different school of thought on that. But I also came from a different set of problems. Arrogance. Low self-esteem. Just amongst many. But God doesn't see me that way. He didn't see me like that when he called me out. He saw me in the end. He doesn't even see me as I am now. Because I love that part. You're perfect in his eyes. He's not there judging you by your past or what you may do tomorrow. He's going to keep trying and keep trying to get you to straighten up. See, you want God, you want to see yourself as God sees, as you think God sees you. But until you look at other people, you will never see yourself as God sees you. Because you're still looking through the eyes of judgment. Well, Pastor, the Bible says this. Well, I mean, we even non-denominational, I mean, free Christians have become so bound up. There was a part in 1 Corinthians 11 on the other page of my Bible that Paul was writing that it's a dishonor for men to have long hair. Paul was a Roman. They cropped their hair because they had lice and fleas. They kept their hair cut real short. But yet, every depiction of Jesus Christ I have ever seen, except for the ones made by the Catholic Church depicting him as a Roman, shows him with hair down to his shoulders. I had that once. Once. I've tried to grow my hair out, and I just, boy, it's so much easier. I'm sorry. And it's not as hot. Oh, this whole new mullet thing for guys. Like, boy, I remember baling hay and hay. My curls were just all drenched. Yes, I did the permanent thing too. I had big curls. But Paul said that it's a dishonor. I don't agree with Paul. Oh, you disagree with the Bible. Paul never considered what he was writing to be holy scripture. Never. Because he's the one who said, all scripture, he told Timothy, all scripture is given. The New Testament took until about 300 AD. Now, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes people talk with their personal beliefs. Paul also said, I don't allow women to teach. So all you ladies in here who are teachers in schools and teachers here in the church, Paul wouldn't let you because it was religiosity. But Paul later on got hold of some ideas that were right. There's now neither male nor female, Greek or Jew. Circumcision doesn't amount to anything. Does it bring you closer to God? So religiosity does not bring you closer to God. Living by a set of rules that you created is asinine. It's the highest level of crazy I think you can attain. Because it doesn't bring you freedom. It doesn't show you love. It doesn't let you love other people. And if you're going to love other people, you've got to put yourself in their shoes. I've mentioned this several times about Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I know some of you in here probably have read it. If you read it all the way through, praise God, you're better than me. Might be why I had to repeat junior English. I did not read the Scarlet Letter. I opened that up and I said, you've got to be kidding me. It's about a woman who has an affair and the religious people every day mark her? Seriously? And I didn't read it. I failed English. I was the only senior in that junior class next year. But that book it's such small print anyhow, but it is like that thick. But there's a few things I did hit in there. And one of them was how to win an argument. He said, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Well, that sounds like it's just manipulation. No. Put yourself in their shoes. Start seeing the argument the way they're seeing it. And you'll win because you'll change your perspective. Your perspective has now changed. And that's what we have to do. We have to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. What if it was my child? What if it was my child who was running up and down the street selling drugs? One, my boys know better. But I know there's people who have been brought up that way. They've been forced to do it. It was a life that they were introduced to. I'll tell you right now, if my parents hadn't got saved, my life was not looking up. But because they did, things changed. But you know why? It was because I had a praying grandma, my great-grandma. She prayed. She prayed over my mother. She prayed for my mother. Probably even my other great-grandmother. On the other side, she was a Sunday school teacher until she was 85. And that's because she died. But yet her family was full of heathens, people that backstabbed each other, lied, cheated each other, their own flesh and blood. But yet she prayed. We're not going to see ourselves the way God sees us until I can look at you and love you. In spite of yourself. That's the hard part. Because we don't want to change. We think we're perfect. We think, you know, our stuff don't stink. I don't need to elaborate. I could do a better job than he does. Well, I welcome you. It's not that easy. Especially without notes. But you know what I've done? I've learned to start loving people regardless. I see through the stuff that's on the outside because, you know, the stuff on the outside is nothing more than a smokescreen to see that they're hurting. And typically the more macho, the more angry, the more violent, inside is a child who was hurt. And until that child can be let out, the man can't. The little girl who everybody's running around saying, she's a slut. Look at that little slut. If you're offended at the word, quit using it. Because that's the one you're using to somebody that you think isn't dressed like you. When we can see beyond that and say, God, what is hurting them? How are they hurting? Is there something I can say? Is there a way I can love on them? And that don't mean getting freaky. Is there something I can say? Or maybe you just need to pray for them. One of the things I told God when I came back, I've told you before, I wasn't even sober. Wouldn't sober up until the next evening. But I told God, I don't want to know you through somebody else. I want to know who you are. And God took me right then. And he began to show who he was. And you know what? He did not condemn me. He did not condemn me when I continually failed. When I'd find myself fighting unforgiveness, bitterness. And in my case, it was unforgiveness and bitterness towards leadership in the church. And then a few other people. So that's why when I told you last week about the story about when God called me out of a revival service, and he said, your armor is dented and it's beat up. That's exactly how I felt. And folks, that's why I wasn't coming back to Ohio. I wasn't coming back to Ohio ever. And if I hadn't met her, I wasn't coming back to my family. I was going to disappear somewhere in the world. It's really not that hard to do. But God did something. He began changing how I saw other people. It took a while. I'm not going to lie. Because I couldn't get past personality types. You're not getting along with every personality, folks. We're all different personalities, but you still got to love them. You may not be best friends with them, but you got to love them. Well, I just don't like them people. Tough. That's all there is to it. Tough. Here, let you in on a little secret. I've met some of the preachers, some of you idolize. And I throw that word right there where it needs to be. You think they walk on water. I have been in closed meetings with them. I've been with people, oh, he's such an anointed minister. I despised the man. He was not what I would call pleasant to be around. He was arrogant. Anointed in what he did? Absolutely. Anointed musician. But I found myself judging him arrogant without looking in the mirror first. Others that you think are so great, oh, they're just such a great person. They are not. They are not great people. Some of them. Some of them are. Some of them are toeing the road that they've hoed. They're walking the walk. Others, they're not. And I have to be careful in that in myself. Because I find myself being judgmental. And then God reminds me, they're not your servants. They're mine. I'll deal with them. You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to play with everybody. I didn't play with everybody on the playground. Sorry. Second grade, I was playing with my Hot Wheels. Third grade, started playing football, kickball, baseball during recess. And those were only usually so many groups. And honestly, if you were to hang around me a lot, you probably wouldn't like me. Or you just, you know. I get days where things aren't going right. I get days where I got a headache. Oh, I don't believe that you should be walking in perfect health, brother. You're a sinner because you have a headache. And there's one of the reasons why I don't hang out with certain preachers. No, as soon as the humidity goes down, I'm good to go. I just got to remember to take aspirin or something like that to help. But you know, see, he said if we judge ourselves, well, okay, I got to judge myself first. But going back to what Matthew said, that how I judge Phil is how God is going to judge me. So I need to make sure I'm giving my brother as much grace and compassion as I possibly can. Because I've judged myself. And I need it all. And then some. Yeah, Pastor, sounds like you got some serious problems. I don't know if I need to be going here anymore. Yeah, that's your call. I'm not the people pleaser. She is. I'll tell you the way it needs to be. Not because I want to be mean or I think that I'm better than you. That's one of those things that when God made me a mouthpiece, that's my job. But this is why Jesus, even John the Baptist, were so adamant about self-righteousness. Well, I'm better than them. What makes you better than somebody else? Please tell me. You drive a better car? No, that just means you got more debt. You live in a better house? Do I need to say it again? You just got more debt. So what's the difference between the two of you? They're self-righteous, you're self-righteous. You think you'd get along. Self-righteousness can't get along with self-righteousness. And neither can self-righteousness get along with righteousness. Because self-righteousness justifies self. It doesn't say, I'm wrong. It doesn't say, that's not good in my life, I need to stop it. It says, you're okay. God's okay with your sin. God is not okay with sin. Ever. He wants you free from those chains. Now, there's a bunch of stuff that heaven related, beyond this life related. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen in heaven. Well, I can tell you about North Carolina because I've been there. I can't tell you about heaven. And I'm not going to go read every preacher's book that wrote that they were in heaven. There are a bunch of them. However, there are some little children whose accounts I would take in account before anybody else's. You know, that's why Jesus said if we become as little children. He didn't say we need to act like little children. I was telling Bill Arnold the other day, he was talking about getting older. He's like, I don't like his getting older stuff. I said, I know what you're saying, man. But I said, I'm still refusing to grow up, though. I'm trying. The getting older part, I can't stop. But I don't need to act childish either. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. Here, let me explain that to you and what I did in the first grade. Show and tell. I didn't have anything for show and tell. But I had Winnie the Pooh pants on. And they had Winnie the Pooh on the button. And I went around and showed everybody in my class Winnie the Pooh button. I look back and think, dear God, I'm actually friends with some of those people now. I hope they forgot I went to Northmore. Can you imagine sitting at your desk and somebody comes up, shoves their button to their jeans in your face? And by the way, I was this tall. So I was not tall enough. when we look at other people, we have got to see what God starts is seeing in them. His love. And he's able to do that through Jesus Christ. He's able to look down at you because of what Jesus did. Otherwise, folks, we would still be carrying the weight that Jesus did. We don't have it anymore. That is why he can actually look at sinners with love. Because what Jesus did, he did for all. Now, they choose to live in their sin. They choose to continue without him, and that's the sad part. That's why the Bible tells us to pray. Pray for people. You don't have to go protest them. You pray. I think protesting has its place properly. It does not involve burning things down, destroying people's property. None of that. But I think prayer has a greater place. Jesus said, My house shall be called a house of prayer. Prayer does not happen in churches today unless it's a canned prayer out of a prayer book. How many of you would love to sit down with your children and have them tell you the exact same thing that they think you want to hear every day? Every stinking day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. Well, for yours is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever. Amen. If that's all you ever pray, what does it mean to you? What does it mean? How about getting up and saying, good morning, Father? I've told you, it's a relationship. You get down and you're praying. And there's a time for that, folks. Don't get me wrong. I've spent plenty of time praying. But when you want a relationship, you've got to get to know Yahweh, the great I Am. And when you know him, you can see, hey, wait a minute, I judged myself. I know me. I know what I've done. And I know he's forgiven me. And by the way, you could sit here and say, well, you know, Pastor, I've never been addicted to drugs, never gotten messed up in sex stuff, and none of that stuff. Well, your self-righteousness, first off, is appalling to him. Two, if you read the Bible, and it says he's separating the sheep from the goats, he doesn't throw that in the equation. He said, I was sick and you never came to me. I was lonely. I was in prison. I was naked and hungry. And you never fed nor clothed me. The things that condemned us are the things we did to other people. Well, I never backstabbed anybody. I never did. It's how you ill-treated the waitress who had nothing to do with your meal coming out late. And if you think that you need to be served so greatly, stay home and serve yourself. And especially right now, I've told you, you've got to have grace on these people. They're so understaffed right now, it's not funny. And when you go to Lowe's and Home Depot and Menards and all that, folks, most of these people have no idea what you're looking for. Find you a contractor and follow them. That's your best chance. But give them grace and mercy. They need it. At least they're there. Well, I never went on unemployment. I did. I rode that turkey out until that was dry. Then got word that the factory wasn't reopening, and that was that. But God used it to my good. to start my own business so that I would have time to be able to start this church. God's timing is awesome. It's amazing. There's not a one of us in here who is righteous on our own. But when we can see my brother and my sister through his eyes of love, we can love them and even like them. Go figure. You know, we've tried to raise our boys. Look for a good woman. That's what their mama always, she's like, look, to look beyond the beauty. Don't look for just the best looking one. Now, Dad, I'm like, now hang on a second, honey. I said, I want my boys to have good looking women. I want them to have a good looking wife. And you know what? I think they found both so far. So now we got the youngest one. Yes, I mean that. The youngest one, he's still realizing that dating costs money, which I'm like, right on, man. Mama, she's like, women, girls are evil. Stay away from them. No. No, that's a bit of a stretch. But we have gotten it through, I believe, but he's 15. Well, brother, you need to put the smack down on him, and you need to put the law, you need to bring the law in on him, boy. Oh, dear God. I had people telling me that. I even took some of their advice. Some of it was okay. Listen, if I can't trust my children, I need to start making sure that I'm living right and telling them what's right and what's expected and why it's expected. Are they going to be perfect folks? Right now, we only have one pure, maybe three, four, but one that's totally. And she was just born this week. Okay? The older they get, the more stuff they learn. But you see, thank you, Jesus. The way you look at that little girl is the way God sees you. With your scars, with your injuries, he sees you still like that, innocent. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not redeemed. Oh, brother or sister, you are so redeemed in Jesus Christ. But if you're still fighting that stuff, you have got to start walking away. I posted a thing this week on Facebook about if friends are constantly trying to get you high after you've been sober, they aren't your friends. When I quit drinking, folks, I lost all my friends. They just disappeared. I never condemned them. But now that I can look at them through the eyes of love, I can also see the anger and the hurt that they were trying to drink away because it's what came out of them. See, they always say that alcohol reveals who you really are. And the two guys I was hanging out with, well, it's just a wonder I have my teeth. And they have theirs, because they were brawlers. But I wasn't like that. I just wanted to have fun. And then lo and behold, I found out you can have fun without that. Go figure. I don't need to get drunk. I don't need to get high. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand the stress I'm under. Really? Can I introduce you to stress? It's my constant companion. And those days when I'm sitting there, and the devil comes up and says, wouldn't a shot of whiskey work right now? No, wait a minute. No, it won't. It won't solve a thing. It doesn't help with the problem. As a matter of fact, it's going to amplify the problem and make it worse. But I don't judge people. I pray for them. By the way, I just found out about this. I think it was Tim. Was it you telling me? I'm going to share this. You might know. I don't know. It's in your office you work in. But yesterday, we ate dinner at the Legacy, and we were leaving, coming back down 71, and I saw a pickup truck pulling out of the lion's den. And my heart went out for that person. See, when you've been there, you can have compassion. And then this morning, I found out that property's been sold. They're tearing it down. Folks, praying for people. That thing's been there for a while. But I'm going to tell you right now, all the billboards, all the religious people that jumped up, first off, we probably should have been proactive years ago in getting some laws on the books. But no, we don't need that to deal with that. Honey, you need to deal with stuff before it gets here, not wait until it gets here. That's the problem with this country. We'll deal with the Japanese when we have to. Hello? They're here. It's Sunday morning. That's not a holy day to them. But by praying, we've prayed for those people over the years. It took some time. I'm going to tell you right now, that thing was steeped deep. But that kingpin is going down. That kingpin is going down. But that's what happens when you can start praying for people instead of, look at that pervert. Oh, please. Like you're so innocent. I only looked at Playboy just for the articles. You lying sack of garbage. Cast that demon spirit out of you for lying. Oh, by the way, yes, I did. And I won't ask for a show of hands. I'll let you keep your innocence. Let you keep your anonymity, and some of your wives won't hit you. But let me tell you something, folks. God has taken me down a path. Doesn't mean there's not days, like I just told you. The devil's like, hey, whiskey would be good right about now. No. No, it won't. It won't do what it needs to do, what I need to do. I need God. I need God to work in me. I don't need something that's going to create more problems. So take your time and let God's love work through you to see other people, how he sees them, not how you see them. Well, if they're covered in tattoos, oh, look at that person. So, they got purple hair. So, now I will say this, when you start modifying your body to look like an animal or an alien, you got some problems. I saw a guy the other day who, he looks like an alien now. He's had his nose cut pretty much off and things put in his under his skin. His skin is all dyed black. His eyes are black. He got problems. Then there's another guy who's got all of his teeth filed to point, so it looks like a jaguar. People with snake tongues. Folks, you got some problems. You really need Jesus. All right, let's stand. I don't want you getting into a judgmental fit on it. But again, if you pray for them, okay. Well, before we go here, I told Jesse we would call him up and pray for him, bless him. But Phil, I'm going to ask you to do it, because I can't. Thought I could, but I can't. I'll back you up. Let's pray.
Praise you for this young man. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing him into this world. Lord God, help him to always keep his eyes toward you. Help him to always keep his heart open to you and tender towards you, Lord God. And help him to hear your voice. And you said your sheep would know your voice and that he would not follow any other voice than yours, Lord God. We speak that into his life right now. Give him strength and courage. Oh, Lord God. Yes. Oh. We praise you, Father. Thank you for all that you've already done. Yes, Lord. And all that you're going to do.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord God. Help him to be a testimony for you where he's going and everywhere else that he goes in. Let your light shine through his eyes, that they'll see your good work. And they'll glorify you through him, Lord God. And for all this, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, thought I could do it. But anyhow, again, 5 o'clock tonight, we'll have some ice cream. By the way, it is not dinner. Just get that out there. It is not dinner. It's Breyer's ice cream, some hot fudge, caramel, strawberry, some stuff like that, some snacks. But you're all invited to come, and there will be a jam session. Again, like I said, though, you're going to have two drummers. And one of them... Yes, we do have earplugs. Yeah. But one of the drums is not in the cage, so. But anyhow, it's funny. I got a guitar player leaving, but I'm left with two drummers. Wow. I got to teach one of them how to play a guitar. Got real quick, Jesse. You got 3 days. Actually, two and a wake up. But anyhow, so let's pray, and I'll dismiss you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your many wonderful blessings in our lives. Father, and one of those is that we can be called your children because you've seen us through your eyes. You've not seen us through the eyes of judgment and condemnation, but you've seen us through the eyes of love. Father, you don't want us addicted to things, not because we can't have fun, but because the things will control us. Father, you didn't create sex to be an addiction. You didn't create, or even wine was never meant to do what it has done. But Father, it has been perverted and it has been abused. All these things have been abused. And now Father, I pray for those in here today and at the sound of my voice, even online, Father, who are watching, Father, and they're bound and they're fighting these things. Lord, I pray right now for strength for them. Father, that they begin to see what Jesus took on them. Father, that they remember what he took so that they didn't have to, Father, and they will be able to fight. They will be able to stand. Father, and those that are condemning themselves, Father, they can't move on. They're having trouble loving others. Father, I pray that you help them to begin to love others, to see them, to see other people. As they've crucified the judgmental flesh, they see the person that you love. Father, I pray for those who are self-righteous, Lord, that you help them to find your righteousness. Father, your word says our righteousness is as dirty rags, but yours is clean and it's pure. Father, help us all to find that. And now, Father, I thank you for these people here today. Lord God, I bless them as they go about this day. Father, and at the beginning of this work week, Lord God, that your hand be upon them. Father, you lead them, you guide them, you move them in places that they need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.